great as I'll go. Hosanna. Hosanna. Oh. heart's never failing, and mercy follow me. Everyone needs forgiveness to guide their soul to Savior.
Oh, yeah. Savior. Praise the Lord. I believe that we have our echo problem solved, at least temporarily. Thank you for bearing with us. By the grace of God, I want to wrap up a series. I thought that I had wrapped up, but God put something else on my heart while I was driving around town, and he wanted me to add some things to this series. The series titled The God Created America. Make sure this is on low. The God Created America. Born out of history. And the church did not fail us. We failed her, especially the church that did not continue to guide her. Do not get mad with me because I emphasize the failure of the church in general. Because the Israelites oftentimes failed God and were rebuked and chastised, rebuked by God, rebuked by the prophets that he sent, that they killed because they hated his message that God gave the prophets. Jesus Christ rebuked the church in real time and for the future. And I will share a few things with you today from his rebuke of the church. He knew ahead of time we would fail him. That's just the reality. I know that we have a bunch of so-called Christians today who think they can do no wrong, prosperity gospel type people who think the church is perfect and wonderful and dandy, and that's just not the case, my friends. Allow me to read in your hearing to bring you up to speed. Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And generally speaking, because of the remnant church, because of the seven thousand church and the faithful few church, we have not been destroyed yet as far as a country, but we're on our way. Praise God for the faithful few who are still praying and holding wrath at bay by the grace of God. But as it stands, generally speaking, for millions of people, God is not the Lord over America as he used to be. And so therefore, God is not blessing America as he used to be, or he used to do. This is why we have an American Treasury Secretary bowing profusely before the Chinese the other day. Blinken, the Secretary of State, looking very sheepish when he went over there. I have told President Biden and everybody in the government, you do not want to get into a war with China and Russia, because God is not with you. God is not with America anymore. In fact, with all of the destruction and heat and fire and murder and killing and sodomy and homosexuality and foolishness. Just yesterday, Maybelline, which we all associate with women folk. We have done that for years. When you say Maybelline, you're talking about women, but not anymore. Not only are they getting homosexual men, sodomite men, transvestite men, so-called transgender men, to promote their makeup line, but they're getting men with beards, with barrettes in their beards. The devil is a lie. That's in the news yesterday and today. And God is not pleased with this demonic foolishness. And God is not pleased with the church allowing it to happen in this in the words of Dr. Bobby Mills, this multicultural democracy that could have been won over by the church if the church had done its job. We could have almost everybody in Congress and in the Senate and in the White House always born again, saved ones, and the righteous could be ruling. But that is not the case. Proverbs 29:2 reads, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And I have shared this with you before. I want to share it with you again to bring you up to speed, as this is message number 4 in this series. The Secret of America's Greatness. French writer Alexis de Tocqueville, after visiting America in 1831, said, "I sought for the greatness of the United States of America in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields, and boundless forests. And it was not there. I sought for it in her rich mines, her vast world of commerce, her public school system, and in her institutions of higher learning. And it was not there. I looked for it in her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution. And it was not there, not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness, did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." And he probably didn't know to say it, but he meant to say, America is God-fearing. America is carrying herself in a godly fashion, therefore America is good. It's all through God. Any goodness comes from God and through God, not through us and through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so here's what God laid upon my heart to add to this series while I was driving around town. One day, Jesus Christ spoke to the church in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." And I believe the Lord has already done that. Generally speaking, to many so-called Christians. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, Jesus said, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And so, dear friends, as you know, I have dubbed the church in recent years the Judas Laodicean Church. In general, I'm not talking about the remnant. I'm not talking about the faithful few. I'm not talking about God's 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. But you do need to understand, generally speaking, this is the church of today, what I call the Judas Laodicean church, that thinks it has it all and they have nothing. They're dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. Arrogant and proud, disobedient and rebellious. And not blessed of the Lord. Not hot or cold, but lukewarm. And I believe the Lord has, contrary to my sweet evangelicals who have been influenced by the sweet charismatic prosperity gospel people, I believe the Lord has spewed them out of his mouth, most of the so-called church of today. I believe with all of my heart that the coronavirus plague was a chastisement upon the church first and foremost, because the church is not hot or cold. I have a water fountain in my house. It has 3 knobs. One is cold and it's icy cold. One is hot and one is lukewarm. The lukewarm one is in the middle, and I never use the lukewarm. I have no purpose for the lukewarm water whatsoever. I have a purpose for the hot water for my tea that I drink. And in this heat that we live in, especially in the state of Texas, that icy cold water is very refreshing. I have no use for lukewarm water. And evidently, apparently, the Lord does not either. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I praise you and I thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love. I praise you and thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and many and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon me and my family and all other born-again saved Christians and those who are saved and who have practiced your holy word that says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, mental and physical blessings that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us. For Jesus Christ's sake, Lord, have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us, Lord, of our sins, our faults, and our failures, our disobedience, in word, thought, and deed, and attitude. And wash and cleanse our hearts and minds, souls, spirits, and consciences in the precious blood of Christ. And make us to be whiter than snow on the inside. Deliver each and every one of us who name the name of Christ in these last days, that you would deliver us today from temptation, evil, and sin. Put a guard in our hearts, our minds, our tongues, our attitudes, and our temperaments, that we would not sin against you. Crucify our wicked, evil, and ungodly flesh and the old man within us, and fill us all with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit. Baptize us all in the power and unction and anointing of your Holy Spirit for those of us who are saved and sincere. And Holy Father God, I pray that you would grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do right. Put a guard in our hearts, minds, tongues, attitudes, and temperaments, that we would not sin against you. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Deliver us from temptation, evil, and sin. And help all of us to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent of our sins. And get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we thank you for leading us to see the equipment and the going forth of your word through machinery, through computers, through programs to get back in order today in a miraculous way. And we pray that your holy gospel and your holy word would reach the hearts and minds, souls and spirits and lives of your people who are saved and those who need to be saved. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for my wife, Marika White, for the salvation, Lord, of her mother, her aunts, her siblings, my mother, my siblings, all of our family members, some of them religious but lost. And Lord God in heaven, I thank you for the salvation of all of my children, at least most of them. I am concerned about a couple. Help them to examine themselves and see whether or not they be in the faith. Have your Holy Ghost to move mightily upon their hearts continuously, breaking them, making them, and molding them to be what you would have them to be. I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for what David did this past week. I praise you, Lord, and I thank you for what all of my children did this past week and how you touched their hearts to do great things and to help in the ministry in the way that they have done. Now, Holy Father God, I do pray that, Lord, you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias out of my wife, Marika White, not only for today on this Friday, but throughout this weekend and permanently. And Lord, I pray that her salvation will be confirmed by you and by her living the Christian life, not only in front of other people, but behind the scenes with her husband, as she has never lived it in front of her children, as they are now grown. I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on this Friday that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias out of my wife, Marika White, out of her mother, her aunts, and her siblings, my mother, and my siblings, and Lord, all of my children that who have that problem. And Lord, break the band of wickedness in all of our lives. crucify our flesh and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to get back to you, our first love, as we have, as we will talk about here in a few minutes. And help us, Lord, all to forsake the Judas Laodicean church and that demonic spirit. I pray, Lord, for the salvation of the lost in this country and around the globe and under the sound of my voice. I pray for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving and the mourning. And Lord God in heaven, I pray that you would completely destroy the echo problems that the devil I know is behind. Maybe there are some human beings behind it as well, trying to sabotage your gospel and your ministry work. But Lord, I pray that you would give us the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight. Whenever that crops up again, we can put it down quickly so that your gospel can go forward and your holy word can be preached clearly. And Lord, we pray that you would indeed surround us with your protection, a band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. Lord, lift all of our sin burdens, guilt burdens, care burdens, anxiety burdens, troubles, problems, and fears, and fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding, your joy unspeakable, your holy serenity and tranquility of mind and heart. And Holy Father God, I pray for, I thank you for giving me that ability to take pleasure in persecutions and infirmities and necessities and difficulties. I praise you and thank you for being able to glory in all of these negative things. I praise you and thank you also for the ability to pray to you, for you said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And thank you for the miracles that you have performed down through the years. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to work miracles for the work of the ministry and the preaching of the gospel and for your servants. And Lord God in heaven, deliver us today from all distresses and afflictions. Deliver us, Lord, today from all tribulations and troubles, trials, temptations, tests, and tensions. Deliver each and every one of us who name the name of Christ in my family and outside of my family, in this audience, in this country, and around the globe. Deliver us, Lord, from all of our spiritual and mental, physical and emotional, family, financial, legal, student loan debt, student progress, problems, troubles, and difficulties that we're facing. Somehow, Lord, forgiveness has taken place. Today, I don't know how long lasting that will be, but looks like the president did a workaround. And I pray that everybody, Lord, that you want to benefit from it would benefit from it. And Holy Father God, I also pray and I thank you for allowing things to be as well as they are. I praise you and thank you for your mercy, love, and grace and how you remember your mercy, love, and grace, Lord, even while you're chastising us and rebuking us. I pray now, Lord, that you would bless and protect all of my children and Danny, Daniel, and Anita, Danae, Daniqua, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Danielle, Duran, Danielle, and Quaziam. And Lord, protect us all from ourselves, and I pray for all of the Christians in this audience, alive and on demand, in this country and around the globe, all of your people, the beloved family. I pray that you would bless and protect us all from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil, and from the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, and evil people in the world. And help us to pray without ceasing, and to pray always, and to continue instant in prayer throughout this day and throughout our lives for those of us who are saved and born again. And Lord, I pray that you'll place upon us the whole armor of God, surround us with the band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. And have all that we do and say today and throughout this weekend, if you should tarry your coming, Lord, to be done for your glory, praise, and honor, and for the glory, praise, and honor of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you will revive us again, reclaim the backslidden, and save that soul that is nearest hell. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and forsake. Amen. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Jesus said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, the good things that you're doing for me, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. That's a good quality, because God hates evil, as you know. Jesus Christ hates evil, as you even see here. And we, as his children, as God's children, as saved ones, born-again ones, we ought to hate not only our evil, but all evil. And I fear that most so-called Christians today do not hate evil. They don't even hate their own evil. And I would venture to say that if you don't hate your own evil, you're probably not born again, and you're not even close to hating the evil of others. In fact, when I was lost and on my way to hell and did not even know it, my evil did not bother me. In fact, I thought my evil was good. And see, that's how wicked the heart is and how desperately wicked the heart is. I thought there was something wrong with you if you didn't run with us after these fine women out here. If you were not engaged with in having sex with these beautiful, fine, fat women, you were sick in the head. Something wrong. There was something wrong with you. And not only did I feel that way, all of my buddies who ran with me felt that way. We would joke you. We would call you all kinds of names. And so therefore, the sins of others didn't bother me either. My sin never bothered me. In fact, I felt I was wrong. I felt you were wrong if you were not sinning. I mean, that's how twisted and how corrupt our minds and hearts are. That is sad, but that's the case until you get born again. I knew that by the grace of God, God saved me, because sin, all kinds of sin started bothering me. Just an evil thought bothered me. Just a glance bothered me. A glance at a beautiful woman bothered me. A lie bothered me. Some might call them a little white lie, but any lie bothered me once I got born again and saved. And that's how it ought to be with you. And I remember back in the day when I first got saved, I heard somebody curse around me, and I was the biggest cursor known to mankind. But after I got born again by the grace of God, I remember particularly one time a man behind me in the lunch line while in the Air Force was just using God's name in vain, GD this, GD that, and I turned around. I said, do not curse God like that. I might have said something very spiritual, like, don't curse my God like that. I had, you know, back in those days, you carried your big old Bible with you, gospel tracts and everything, and I witnessed to the man on the spot. And he cut that cursing out, taking God's name in vain. He apologized and everything. See, today if you do that, they will turn you upside down and whip you all the way down the street. But that's what I lived my life when I first got saved, and after I got saved, sin bothered me. My sin bothered me, and the sins of others bothered me. Now, to this day, because of my calling as a prophet and as an evangelist, my sin still bothers me. And your sin bothers me for another reason, because your sin messes up the benefits and privileges that we all have in this country called America, including mine. You mess with my stuff. You mess with my the benefits that I enjoy, see, causing inflation, causing certain things not to be at the store because of this and that, because of our sin and foolishness. So Jesus said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Born again, listen to me, born again saved people, they cannot bear people who are evil and who are doing evil, like all of these sodomites and homosexuals and transvestites and transgender so-called men masquerading as women. Now we got women masquerading as men. And now we got men who are wearing Maybelline and advertising it with a beret in their beard. May God help us. And it's not a matter of hating people. We don't hate anybody. But you're wrong. You're evil. And you're doing evil. And you need to be born again. And thou canst, or rather, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, but they are false prophets. We have many of those in the evangelical circles today, not only in other circles. Yes, there's some false prophets among the Protestants, among the charismatics, but there's some false prophets in the so-called conservative, Bible-believing, Dallas, theologically trained, Southwestern, theologically trained preachers who are false prophets as well. And you try them which say they are apostles and are not. They're false prophets. They're false teachers. And has found them liars. There are preachers preaching today that we never thought, sons of great men we never thought, would be liars and false prophets and false teachers. Their household names because of their fathers. And has found them liars, and has borne and has the patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Those are some good things to do, to labor for the Lord and not faint, not quit. You have shown patience. Thank God for the faithful few. Thank God for the 7,000. Thank God for the remnant church and those faithful. You want to know what the real church is? You want to know what the real church looks like? You could have done this better before the coronavirus plague, because there's some faithful ones who are wise and smart who stay home from church building, from the church building, but not from church. A born-again, saved, faithful Christian, they're going to be in church. You don't have to worry about that. They may not go to the church building because of the diseases running around all over the place. But they're going to be in church. You never have to worry about a faithful, born-again, saved Christian person. They're going to be where they should be, and they're going to be praying, and they're going to be faithful. You never have to worry about them. The truth of the matter is, if you have to go and pull them and beg them and plead with them and always have to give them a ride, and when they have a car and all of this kind of thing, there's something wrong somewhere. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Remember, repent, and repeat, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. You know who the Nicolaitans are today, as far as I'm concerned? They're the so-called affirming homosexual, sodomite, homosexual, gay, transgender, bisexual, affirming pastors and associate pastors and churches. These are not exactly the Nicolaitans, but you can apply that to these sodomite affirming pastors and churches that have destroyed the hearts and minds, souls and spirits, and raped the hearts, minds, souls and spirits of children and even some adults by lying to them, by telling them it's okay, that you're saved and you're all right, and there's no guilt to be a gay, a homosexual, and a sodomite, or a sodomite, or a transgendered man masquerading as a woman, or vice versa. And Jesus Christ died for all of our sins. And if an adulterer who's continuing to commit adultery in the church can't stay, a homosexual who's continuing to commit homosexuality can't stay in the church because they're not born again. Neither one is born again. The heterosexual adulterer and fornicator, the homosexual man or lesbian woman, they have never been born again. They have never been saved. Dr. Bobby Mills said, God determines your sex. And he allows the doctor to confirm it and to tell you what you have as a child, a boy or a girl. Above that, you try to change that and mess with that, you're sinning against God Almighty, that's all. No, you were not born this way. I don't care what Lady Gaga said, and I like Lady Gaga, but she's wrong. The song is wrong. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So God wants you, those of you who are born again and saved, God is speaking to you right now. He wants you to remember. He wants you to repent. And he wants you to repeat. Based upon your first love. Make no mistake about it. Love is what makes the world go round. My dad, Bishop Daniel White Jr., coined the phrase, love is what it is. And God is not interested in you mechanically, perfunctorily serving him like a robot. He wants you to serve him and be with him and fellowship with him because you love him back. And that's a choice that you have to make. Now, he'll fill your heart with love, but you have to make that choice. God will give you his agape love if you're born again and saved, but you have to choose to love him back, and you prove that love for him by obeying him. Jesus Christ said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Love is what it is. So that's the first thing he wants you to do, is find your first love. And then it'll be easy for you to start doing these other things. Remember from where you have fallen. Repent of the sins that you committed to get to this position of not doing what you used to do for the Lord. And then repeat. That's what God wants to see. That's what Jesus wants to see. He wants you to remember. Find out where you lost your first love. He wants you to repent at that point. Repent of the evil that you have done and what you're doing. And then he wants you to repeat. Now that's God's pattern. That's the Lord's pattern. That's the Lord's way. It's not just confession. It's not just remembering. It's repenting, and the proof of your repenting is the repeating. Glory be to God. Okay, I mean, this is not rocket science here, people. No one is trying to sound profound. These are simple, basic things that God wants to see done, because God does not play. You may play, but God does not play. This is what he wants done. See. God is not that moved unless he sees the repentance, which includes the repeating. Now you're doing what you used to do because you love him back like you used to. For Jesus Christ said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you're not keeping his commandments, that means that you don't love the Lord. And his commandments are not grievous. They're not. They're for our good, by the way. See, this is why. If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and obey the Lord because you love the Lord, you're going to hell. Because God's commandments are for your own good. Not only are they not grievous or grievous, they're for your own good. He gave you the commandments because he loves you. God is all about the fun and the party and the good time and the celebration. He's not trying to take that away from you. He wants you to have it more abundantly and richly. These churches were in such different states as to purity of doctrine, Dr. Matthew Henry said, and the power of godliness, that the words of Christ to them will always suit the cases of other churches and other professors. Christ knows and observes their state. Though in heaven, yet he walks in the midst of his churches on earth, observing what is wrong in them and what they want and what they need. The church of Ephesus is commended for diligence in duty, faithfulness. Christ Christ keeps an account of every hour's work his servants do for him. And their labor shall not be in vain in the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Your labor shall not be in vain. And their labor shall not be in vain in the Lord, but it is not enough that we are diligent and hardworking. There must be bearing patience, and there must be waiting patience. My. We need to have that too. And though we must show all meekness to all men, yet we must show just zeal against their sins. How about that? And this is something that many pastors do not want to do. Many Christians do not want to do this. They don't even want to deal with their own sins, much less deal with somebody else's sins. But you must understand, if you're on a boat and everybody's trying to enjoy the boat ride, but you got a crew of ne'er-do-wells, a crew of crooked men down on the other end of the boat with an automatic drilling a hole in the boat, you need to go and stop these jokers. Understand? Because you're not going to enjoy the yacht ride much longer. You're going to be underwater fighting for your life. So a group of good men need to go and tackle these devils before we all go down. So somebody in the spiritual realm must rebuke people who are doing evil, impacting the whole ship of Zion. Okay? You must understand this sweet little American way of live and let live, que sera, sera. That is not going to work. I told you, I didn't get up and start preaching every day for over 7 years because I'm a great, wonderful, spiritual guy. That is nearly every day. I didn't do that for that. I didn't do that to be seen. You don't know me. My family knows me. I love to relax and take it easy. I'm willing to serve the Lord, but I love to have a great meal and to relax and take it easy, and a glass of wine with my meal. And back in those days, before the flood of the coronavirus plague, man, I used to love watching a good movie. I mean, sit back in my easy chair and watch the news, watch a movie, watch a video, whatever. And I enjoyed that, man. I didn't want to do this. Preach every day? No. I would have never done that on my own. Hear me well. Look at me real good. I would have never done that on my own. Never. It was not in me to do that. But I learned later on that this being called from the womb thing, I believe that now. God called me to do that. Not only to preach the gospel to thousands of people and to reach the world with the whole counsel of God, but symbolically. God uses prophets oftentimes as symbols. And people took note of this man is preaching every day. Why is he doing this? I knew that destruction was coming. I didn't know when. And I started preaching not just because of my sins I needed to deal with, but to deal with your sins too, because the ship is going down if we don't deal with the people who are drilling the doggone holes of sin on the other end of the yacht, the old ship of Zion. We got to stop you. because we won't even have a chance to deal with what we're doing wrong if we don't stop you doing this greater wrong of sinking the ship for everybody. See? And so that's why God led me to do that. I didn't lead myself, I can assure you. I would have never led myself to preach every day. Because you must understand, my mom and dad know. My buddies I grew up with and girlfriends I grew up with, they know. They don't bother me. I mean, you know, they don't mess with me about this right here, my preaching, they don't bother me. Even with my failures and falls, they know that something happened to that boy. Because that boy used to curse and swear and say he would never preach like his daddy, be a preacher like his dad. And who bore, and because I bore his name. And I hated my dad with a passion. And the man never did me any wrong. Never. No, he did nothing but love me. Loved me too much. Loved the rest of the family too much, too. So that's, first of all, I never even wanted to be saved. Didn't even know what it meant. And the last thing on earth I wanted to do was preach. Me? Preach every day? No, sir. And I have a wife who's with me right here, right now, who did not want me to preach. She didn't even want me to preach on Sundays or Wednesdays, much less every day. That's a fact. She fought me on preaching on Sundays and Wednesdays, Saturdays. She fought me like the Dickens. Every week. She didn't want me to preach out. She didn't want me to preach at other people's churches. She did everything she could to hinder me from doing that. So I not only did I never wanted to preach at all. My wife never wanted me to preach at all. And the devil didn't want me to preach either. So I was not the one to do that. Only God can do something like that in a person's heart. To do something like that. To preach nearly every day for over 7 years. And so we have to be zealous against our own sins and the sins of others. You might want to refresh that. We have to be zealous against not only our sins, but the sins of others, especially in the household of faith, for real. Because if you go down on that end, I'm going down on this end. And before I got saved, I was all for Live and Let Live, Que Sera. That was one of my favorite little songs. I got that from Doris, I think Doris Day is her name. Que Sera, Sera, yeah. Whatever will be, you do what you need to do, I do what I need to do, whatever. I ain't getting this. As long as you don't bring me no homosexual mess. You if that's what you want to do, that's, keep that under the wraps over there. I don't want to see that, don't want to see it, don't want to be around it. I was lost in that way. When I was lost, that's too. No, sir. I won't be around no stinking man like that. So we must show just zeal, not only against our sins, and don't show just zeal for other people's sins, and you don't hate your own sins. You're a hypocrite. The sin Christ charged this church with is not the having left and forsaken the object of love, but having lost the fervent degree of it that at first appeared. How many of you remember when you first got saved? Hello. Couldn't keep you from the church. They had to run you away from the church. You picked up people to take to church, or you were picked up and enjoyed the fellowship in the car to church and back. After I first got saved, we went to a church 24 miles one way. Had no problem. We would get in a jalopy and, buddy, we'll make the trek. And we're going to be at the house of God. Sunday morning, go back 24 miles after that, after the service, try to get a little nap and be back Sunday night. Not because we had to, but because we wanted to, because we love Jesus so much. We go to the Christian bookstore and buy Bibles and buy cases for our Bibles and highlighters and pens and all kinds of things you could buy to help learn the Word of God. Navigator cards to hide the Word of God in our hearts. We were never without gospel tracts, never without our Bibles. We had the sword, we had a little dagger as well. That means a little Bible. And we had the sword in its sheath. I think that's what you call it. That's in the Bible cover. And on the cover, you're really doing something when you had the sword on the cover of your Bible cover for your Bible. And if we saw you without your Bible, we're talking about the big Bible, carrying it while you're going to work. If we saw you without your big Bible, we say, where's your sword? With a straight face, especially Walter Lake. Walter Lake didn't play. Where's your sword at, brother? Are you ashamed of the Lord? Just like that, straight up. You might have just laid it down to go get your food, and he was on it. Don't put that sword down. Talking about the Bible. You remember how it was when you first got saved. But that's what the Lord wants again. He wants you to get back to that kind of fervor of love for Him and serving Him and being obedient to Him. Christ is displeased with His people when He sees them grow remiss and cold toward Him. God was the same way. God is the same way, if you will, if you don't mind my saying it this way, because it's true. With the Israelites, God is the same way with His Christian people, because Jesus Christ is God. You say, well, He's the Son of God. Yes, if He is the Son of God, He is God. Make no mistake about it. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand that. You're not going to understand everything. Don't worry about it. Just believe it. Surely this mention in Scripture of Christians forsaking their first love, God has a problem with that. Just like human beings have a problem with it. There are wives who have a big problem with it. There were things, little nice little things you did for me when we first met and we first got married. And here we are now, 25 years, and you don't do half of those things anymore. In fact, you don't do 70, 80% of those things anymore. Where has the love gone? And then you rub back and say, like B.B. King, the thrill is gone, baby. Well, God does not want to hear that. Jesus does not want to hear that. No, He wants you to continue to have that thrill. First love reproves those who speak of it with callousness and thus try to excuse indifference and sloth in themselves and others. And this is where largely the church is today. Most people in the church today don't love the Lord as they used to, if they ever did. That's just the reality. That's what's wrong with the church. That's why we see this great falling away. Our Savior considers this indifference as sinful. Allow me to repeat that. Jesus Christ sees this indifference, this coldness, this slothfulness, this lack of fervency and love as sinful. They must repent. We must repent. They must be grieved. We must be grieved and ashamed for our sinful declining. The Old Testament would call it backsliding. And humbly confess it in the sight of Almighty God in the name of Jesus Christ. We must endeavor to recover our first love, our first zeal for the Lord. Do you remember the days when they would accuse us of being zealous? These are zealots. They're just so zealots. They're so zealous for the Lord, they mess up the message of the kingdom. Do you remember those old heads who used to call us zealous, and they were dead at 4 o'clock in the morning? And we were admonished to get away from them. Recover their first zeal, their first love, their first tenderness, and their first seriousness, and must pray as earnestly and watch as diligently as when they first set out in the ways of God. I hope that you have precious memories of when you set out in the ways of God through Christ. Those were the most precious days of your life, more important than the first few days of your honeymoon. In marriage. Similar, but can't touch that. Not that marriage between you and Christ. It was like you were walking on air. It was like the sun shined much brighter than ever before. Everything was vivid. And you were on fire. Anything that moved, they heard about Jesus. Family members who turned against you and could not stand being around you and hated you and persecuted you, they got the gospel, though, I tell you that. Oh, we may have done it in the wrong way, may not have, whatever, but we did it, I guarantee you. Oh, yeah, everybody, we didn't have to be motivated to tell our family members how to get saved. In the words of one preacher, we were naturally concerned. If the presence of Christ is graced and spirit is slighted, we may expect the presence of his displeasure. God is not going to be pleased. Encouraging mention is made of what was good among them. Indifference as to truth and error, good and evil, may be called charity and meekness by some, but it is not so. See, some of us believe we're so not in love with the Lord anymore. We want to go with the American way and under the guise of meekness and love and tell people that they're not wrong when they're wrong. Tell yourself you're not wrong when you're wrong. Justify your sins. Justify the sins of others. In fact, if you justify your own sins, you're going to justify the sins of others. And God does not want us to be that way. The Christian life is a warfare against sin, against Satan, against the world, and the flesh. We must never yield to our spiritual enemies. Never, never, never. And then we shall have a glorious triumph. A glorious triumph and reward. All who persevere shall derive from Christ as the tree of life, perfection and confirmation in holiness and happiness, not in the earthly paradise, but in the heavenly one. This is a figurative expression taken from the account of the Garden of Eden, denoting the pure, satisfactory, and the eternal joys of heaven and the looking forward to them in this world by faith, communion with Christ, and the consolations of the Holy Spirit of God. Believers, those who are born again, take your wrestling life here and expect and look for a quiet life hereafter, but not until then. The Word of God never promises quietness and complete freedom from conflict down here. Never, never, never. Jesus Christ said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Rest your hope in the glories of heaven and fight, fight, fight while you're down here, loving Jesus in a first love manner. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, Lord, I know most Christians don't want to admit it in these days and times, but the devil did hinder us in getting this message out. But I thank you for blessing me to get it out today and to preach your holy word to the saints and to sinners. And Lord, I pray that you will save that soul that is nearest hell even today as they hear the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you're with us today and you are not sure whether you would go to heaven or not when you die, allow me to share with you the bad news about all of this so that you can understand and appreciate the good news and take advantage of it. Number one, the bad news, or bad news number one, we have all sinned against God. We have all broken God's Ten Commandments. We have all done evil in His sight because the Bible says, God's Word says, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, preacher, what is sin? Telling lies, stealing, lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, dishonoring parents, disobeying parents, dishonoring God, committing adultery, having sex outside of the bonds of marriage, committing fornication, having sex outside of the bonds of marriage, before married or with other people who are not married. Adultery is having sex with people who are married to other people and so forth. Homosexuality, all other sins. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bad news number two, we're all going to die because of our sins. For the Holy Bible says, God's Word says, the wages of sin is death. We're all headed towards death, no matter who we are. And that is a frightening thing, no matter what people say. And we die because of our sins. Maybe you didn't know that, but that's the truth. We don't just die. We die for a reason. We die for our sins. The wages of sin is death. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Bad news number three, if we do not take care of our salvation by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, a person will automatically go to the burning hell to spend eternity. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than the prophets. He preached more on hell than the apostles. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. And when he preached on hell, he talked about how the fire shall never be quenched in hell. There is a hell somewhere where the fire is never quenched. That's all bad news. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ said the most loving words ever said in the history of the world in light of that dark and bad news. He said the most magnificent words ever said in the history of the world. He said the most important words he ever said in the history of the world. When he said these words, listen to them and take heed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And all you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of Almighty God. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Yes, it is as simple as that. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shall be saved. If you're ready to get saved from hell today and saved to heaven, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. I will be more than happy to lead you in the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I admit that I am a wicked sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose from the dead by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Please help me to change. Help me to repent of my sins and to get back to you, my first love. And to follow you in the newness of life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God, and you pray that prayer with me and mend it from your heart, according to the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and saved to heaven. And may I say to you, congratulations for doing the most important thing in life, simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, praying and asking Jesus Christ to save your soul and to come into your heart. To help you grow in the faith, dear friend, please go to Gospel Light Society and get your free book, completely free of charge, titled What to Do After I Enter Through the Door, or What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And start reading that book immediately. It is free of charge. Download it where you need to download it. You can read it. And it will tell you the next steps you need to take as a new born-again Christian. Also, go to Gospel Light Society podcast right there on the front of that same site, GospelLightSociety.com. Tap on the podcast button, and it will lead you to thousands of podcasts that are designed to teach you the Word of God, here a little, there a little. It will help you learn how to pray, learn how to read the Bible, and so forth and so on. And so is there for you, free of charge, until Jesus comes. You'll never have to pay a dime. Just put on your headphones and listen. Also, email us and let us know that you got saved, that you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are now a Christian. And email us and let us know so that we can pray for you and pray with you and rejoice with you. Email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com. That is dw3@gospellightsociety.com, or GLS@gospellightsociety.com. That's GLS@gospellightsociety.com. If you have a special prayer request or a question, please email that to us and let us know. Until next time, my beloved, may God bless you and may God keep you. Is my prayer. Make sure that you pray without ceasing. Make sure that you read the Word of God. Make sure that you meditate on the Word of God. And remember, now that you are a Christian, that you are a soldier of the cross. Borrow the motto of the Marines, Semper Fidelis, which means always faithful. Be always faithful to the Lord. Remember the motto of the Air Force and the Space Force, Semper Supra, which means always above. Keep your heart and mind stayed on the Lord. He's the captain of the ship. And He'll keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on Him. God bless you, dear friend. As the music plays, pray for me as I pray for thee. Lord willing, I'll see you, if not tonight, tomorrow. But I'll be here tonight either way, live or via video, as the music plays. Oh, yes.